The Buried Crown. In April 1919, my friend Henry Long was on holiday in East Anglia. He was staying at the Bear Hotel in Seabrough, Suffolk. There were not many other guests, and the hotel was quiet. One evening after dinner, Long was reading in an upstairs sitting room of the hotel. Suddenly, the door opened and a young man looked in. His face was very white. "May I come in?" he asked nervously.
"Of course," Long said. "Anyone can use this sitting room."
The young man came in and shut the door behind him quickly. He sat down and opened a book, but Long saw that he did not want to read it.
"Is everything all right?" Long asked him.
"You'll think that I'm very strange, but I've had a shock. My name is Paxton. I'm on my own here, and I'm very worried about something. Can you help me?"
"Of course," Long said. "What's the matter, Mr. Paxton?"
The young man told Long his story. "It began a week ago when I visited a village called Froston to look at a church. An old man was there working in the garden. While I was outside, looking at the stone above the door, he came to speak to me.
'Are you interested in our old stories?' the old man asked me. 'Do you see the three crowns of East Anglia there?'
'Yes, I do,' I answered.
1,000 years ago, the Anglo-Saxons buried a crown in the ground at a site near Seabrough,' the old man told me. 'People believed then that the crown could stop foreign countries attacking East Anglia from the sea.'
'Where is it? Do people know?' I asked him. I thought that the idea of looking for the buried crown was exciting.
"Yes, they do, but they keep it secret. But I can tell you about the Ager family. They lived around Seabrough for hundreds of years. They believed that they were the guardians of the crown. I knew old Nathaniel Ager. In the war of 1870 between France and Germany, he stayed at the site all the time. His son did the same thing in the next war, the Boer War, in South Africa. His grandson, William, was the last guardian of the crown. He lived near the site in a little house in Northfield, and he watched the place every night from the beginning of the last war in 1914. But he was not well, and he died when he was only 28. Maybe staying outside at night in the winter made him worse. Before he died, he was very worried that there was no one to keep the crown safe after him. So now, the crown has no guardian,"
the old man finished. "I found this story interesting," Paxton told Long. "I couldn't stop thinking about the crown, and I wanted to find the site, but that was a terrible mistake. The next day, I walked up to Northfield. I found the house and spoke to the woman about William Ager. 'He was a friend of mine,' I told her. She thought that his story was very sad
and that William became more seriously ill and died because he slept outside in winter. "Did he go down to the sea at night?" I asked her.
"No, he went up that hill with trees on," she said, pointing.
I decided that I had to look for the crown, Paxton told Long. I had to look for it at night. I'm not going to tell you everything. The important thing is that I found the crown.
You found it? Long said to the young man. He was very surprised. That's amazing! No one has ever seen an Anglo-Saxon crown.
I have, Paxton said seriously. But I need to put it back, and I don't know how.
Why do you want to put it back? Long cried. You have found something amazing. You must give it to an archaeologist.
Paxton was not listening. He put his face in his hands and said again, I need to put it back.
Are you sure that you really have the crown? Long asked.
He was beginning to think that Paxton might be crazy.
Yes, it's in my room. I'm not going to bring it in here, but you can come and look at it, replied Paxton.
Long got up and followed Paxton to his room. The young man was even more nervous than before. He looked both ways along the corridor outside his room, hurried inside, and shut the door quietly. Then he opened his suitcase and took out a small blanket with something under it. He laid it on the bed and opened the blanket. Long could not believe his eyes. He was looking at an Anglo-Saxon crown. It was about 1,000 years old. He put out his hand to touch it.
No, don't touch it, said Paxton. I'll do it.
Paxton held the crown up and turned it around. Long looked at it, amazed. Then Paxton laid it down, put the blanket around it again, and put it back into his suitcase. His face looked white, and he did not say a word.
Come back to the sitting room, and we'll talk there, said Long.
Please will you check that no one is in the corridor, said Paxton.
Long could not understand this, but he opened the door and looked out. There was no one there. The two men went back to the sitting room. Paxton still looked very frightened.
What shall I do? He said.
We must tell an archaeologist about it, said Long.
No, no, said Paxton. I have to put it back, but I'm too afraid. There's always someone following me.
I don't understand, said Long. Who is following you?
It began when I first started looking for the crown, Paxton said in a very quiet voice. Every time I went to the site at night, there was always someone watching me, but I could only see him from the corner of my eye. When I looked straight at him, he wasn't there. Now I am sure that he is angry with me. He did not want me to take the crown. When I first saw the crown in the ground, this feeling got worse. I felt that someone was very close behind me, nearly touching my back. Then, when I pulled the crown out, I heard a horrible cry behind me. As soon as I heard the old man's story at the church in Froston, I really wanted to find the crown. But when I found it, I did not feel happy. I felt terrible. Why didn't I just put it back? I walked back to the hotel in the dark, and I knew that the figure was always with me. But one minute I could see him, and the next minute I couldn't. I think that he has some power over my eyes. It was early morning when I got back to the town. Everyone looked at me strangely, but they looked a little behind me, not straight at me. Is it possible that they saw the figure behind me? So now what am I going to do? I might be able to put the crown back, but I am still cursed, Paxton cried. I have made someone angry by touching it. Long wanted to help the young man. Was it true that the crown had some strange power? If you're sure that you must put it back, I'll help you, he said to Paxton. Oh, thank you, cried Paxton. When can we do it? Can we go tonight? We'll go now, said Long. It's late, but not too late for a walk, and the moon is bright tonight. Downstairs, the landlord opened the door for them and watched them go. Paxton was carrying the crown in the blanket under his coat. The streets of Seabra were quiet and empty. Long and Paxton walked up the dark road past the church. They both felt that someone was watching them, but they never saw anyone. When they got to the trees on the hill, Paxton was terrified. While the young man found the right place in the ground, Long held his coat with the crown inside it. In the moonlight, he could see a line of dark trees, the church, some houses, and the sea. But he felt that something wild and terrible was there with them, waiting to attack them. Give me the crown now, said Paxton. But don't touch it. You must not help me, because you might also be cursed. Long held out the coat, and Paxton took out the crown. He put it into the ground and buried it. Then they walked quickly away. The two men hurried back to the hotel. The landlord was waiting in the hall, and he opened the door for them. He looked up and down the beach.
I thought that someone was following you earlier, the landlord said. But there were two of you, so I wasn't too worried. We didn't see anyone on our walk, Long told him. Good night.
Then he and Paxton hurried upstairs to the sitting room.
You've done it, Long said when the door was shut. You've put the crown back safely. Maybe it was a mistake to touch it, but nothing bad has happened, and I won't tell anyone about it.
everything is going to be all right. I hope that you feel better now. When we walked there, I felt very nervous too. I had the feeling that someone was following us, but it was all right when we came back. But Paxton looked no better.
You don't need to be worried, because you haven't touched it, he said. But I am still cursed. I was wrong to take the crown. I don't feel that he is waiting outside for me now, but...
He stopped.
But thank you, he said. You've been very kind.
You should go to bed now and rest tomorrow morning, said Long. I'll be out in the morning, but we can meet here in the afternoon and go for a walk.
Long slept well and felt much better the next morning. It was a beautiful spring day. He saw Paxton at breakfast, and he also looked better.
I'll stay in the hotel this morning and come out for a walk with you this afternoon, he told Long.
In the afternoon, Long went straight to the sitting room. Paxton was there, reading a book.
Are you ready for our walk? Long asked. I'll change my clothes and meet you in half an hour.
Paxton agreed, and 30 minutes later, Long went back to the sitting room. But Paxton was not there. He was not anywhere in the hotel.
Have you seen Mr. Paxton? Long asked a servant.
He has gone out, the servant replied. He heard you calling his name outside, and he went to find you. I looked out of the window, but I couldn't see you. Mr. Paxton ran that way down to the beach.
Long ran to the beach. He could see Paxton running and waving his walking stick. It looked like he was following someone, but a mist was coming off the sea, and Long could not see very well.
Does he think that the person is me? Long thought.
Then he looked down and saw two tracks in the sand. One of the tracks was a person's with shoes, the other was of someone without shoes. The first track was Paxton's, but Long was shocked when he studied the second track. They were not normal feet, but just the bones of feet. Long was very frightened to think that Paxton was running after this figure. It might suddenly stop, turn around, and attack him.
What will its horrible face look like? Long thought. And how could Paxton think that the figure is me?
Then he remembered Paxton saying, I think that he has some power over my eyes. The mist was thicker, and now Long could not see Paxton any more. Then, ahead, Long could see a large round building on the beach. When he got there, he quickly climbed to the top and looked all around. But he could see nothing through the mist. He turned to climb down and suddenly heard a horrible laugh. The noise came from below and blew away into the mist. Long looked over the side of the building. Paxton was lying dead at the bottom. Long hurried down to him as fast as he could, but he could do nothing. The young man's mouth was full of sand and stones. Long looked at the tracks in the sand. They showed that Paxton ran around the building and straight into someone. An old man was walking slowly down the beach towards him.
"I saw the young man fall," he told Long.
"Was there anyone with him? Did someone attack him?" Long asked.
The old man was not sure. He did not think that there was anyone there. Long sent him to get help while he stayed behind.
"What will I tell the police when they come?" Long thought. "I can tell them that I met Paxton yesterday and that he was very nervous and worried. I can tell them about the tracks in the sand. But I can't tell them that the ghost of William Ager killed him because he touched the buried crown. I must not give away its secret." Long never went to Seabra again.